I want to share with you from the book of Nehemiah. If you could please take a moment to open your Bible and open it to the book of Nehemiah. The book of Nehemiah is a book that speaks about the people of God when they were in captivity in Babylon. And here we have Nehemiah, who was at this time in his life, he was the cupbearer to the king. And the Lord placed a burden in his heart to return back and to rebuild the walls. And this was the passion and the burden that the Lord put in his heart. And if we read in the book of Nehemiah, in chapter 4, verse 7, the Bible reads, "But when Sanballat, Tobiah, the Arabs, the Ammonites, and the people of Ashdod heard that the repairs to Jerusalem's wall had gone ahead and that the gaps were being closed, they were very angry. They all plotted together to come and fight against Jerusalem and stir up trouble against it." Verse 9. "But we prayed to our God and posted guards day and night to meet this threat. Meanwhile, the people in Judah said, 'The strength of the laborers is giving out, and there is so much rubble that we cannot rebuild the walls.' Also, our enemy said, 'Before they know it or see us, we will be right there among them and will kill them and put an end to their work.'" The Lord has sent me here today to tell you that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Your labor in the Lord is not in vain. In Nehemiah 4:7, the Bible says that they were closing the wall. They were beginning to make a difference. And God has placed you in this community for a reason. This church is not here by coincidence. This church is here divinely appointed by God Almighty. You are strategically placed in this place, in this city, at this time for a purpose. And your labor in the Lord is not in vain. You are making a difference. The wall is being rebuilt. The wall is being closed. Verse 8 says that the people that were against the work of God, they plotted together to come and to fight against Jerusalem and to stir up trouble. But verse 9 is where you come in, because this service is a prayer vigil. This service is where the arms of the pastor get lifted up. Verse 9 says, "But we prayed." Say to your neighbor, "But we prayed." And verse 10 says that the strength of the laborers was giving out. But they prayed. They prayed to the Lord. And the Lord heard their prayers. And the Lord began to encourage. Like Nehemiah, you are making a difference. Although they plotted to come against them and to come against the work of God, the Bible says that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and wicked spirits in the heavenly realms. We are in a war. There is a war that is happening in the spirit. And Satan's number one goal is to stop the work of prayer.
Yes, hallelujah.
His number one goal is to stop you and to discourage you from praying. Yes. To make you feel like you're wasting your time. But the devil is a liar. And we know that he is the father of all lies. And today we rebuke him. And we remind him that we have a God whose ear is attentive to our prayers. Amen? Verse 9 says, "But we prayed."
Hallelujah.
"And God posted guards day and night to meet this threat."
Yes.
Intercessors are the guards that God has placed in the house of God. If you are an intercessor, God has called you to stand your post. This is a thankless job, because what you do, it's not public. It's not done up here in the pulpit. You're not preaching. No one knows that you're standing in the gap. But if you're an intercessor and God has called you to prayer, then what you do, God will bless you for that. Be faithful in that ministry. Be faithful what the Lord has called you to do. Because it is an essential role in the kingdom of God. And although you know what, you might not get the thank yous, you might not get the people coming up to at the end and say, you sounded really good, or you blessed me with that word, but I'm here today to tell you, thank you. Thank you for what you do in secret. Thank you for what you do for the Lord that lifts up the hands, that allows us to come up here and preach, that allows us to come here and play, that allows us to come and to sing unto the Lord. Satan is afraid of your prayers. This is why prayer has been taken out of the schools. This is why it is fought at every turn. This is why the minute that you mention the name of Jesus, everyone loses their mind. There is power in your prayers.
That's right.
There is authority in your prayers.
Right.
Your prayers move the hands of God. Prayer, it's not optional. It's not something that we decide we're going to do. We are commanded in the Bible to pray. 1 Thessalonians 5:7. It says, be unceasing in prayer. Another version says, pray continually. And another version says, never stop praying.
That's right. Hallelujah.
We are to continually remain in a state of connection with the Lord. Being connected with the Lord and in fellowship with Him, so that it's like breathing. You don't have to think about breathing. It's natural. You're already breathing. You don't have to say, oh, I have to breathe. I forgot. No, it comes natural. And that's how prayer should be for the believer. Like I said before, Satan's goal is to stop your prayers. Why? Why does Satan want to stop your prayers? Verse 10 in Nehemiah chapter 4 says that meanwhile, the people in Judah said, the strength of the laborers is giving out.
Yes.
And there is so much rubble that we cannot rebuild the wall.
Glory to God.
The goal of the attacks from Satan are to discourage you. Your prayers sustain the labor and the work of God. When the prayers of the saints stop, those in the battlefield become weak. In Exodus chapter 17, verse 11, the Bible says that in the war between the Amalekites and the Israelites, that as long as Moses was at the top of the mountain praying for the people, and as long as his hands were up, the Israelites were winning. But whenever he lowered his hands, the Amalekites began to win. But God sent men of God that in Moses' time of weakness, when he could not go any further, God sent someone to lift up his arms. And the same way that you perhaps are here today and you become tired of the battle, tired of spiritual warfare, I'm here today to lift up your arms, to remind you today that your labor in the Lord, it's not in vain. Your prayers are helping to win the battle. Your role is key in this battle. Your pastor needs your prayers more than you can imagine. But you must guard your heart, because we have a very real enemy. We have three enemies. We have Satan. We have the spirit of this world and the mindset of this world. And then the worst enemy of them all. Does anyone have a mirror? These men who opposed Nehemiah and the work of God, they represented the spirit of this world. And in Nehemiah chapter 6, they were doing everything possible to discourage Nehemiah. Everything possible to stop the work of God from happening. Nehemiah chapter 6 says that on 5 different occasions, they sent someone to speak with Nehemiah. And they said, they want to meet with you. They want you to stop the work that you're doing and to come down and meet with them. But Nehemiah was a man of prayer. And Nehemiah was a man of discernment. And he knew that what they wanted to do was to hurt him. So he gave them this answer. He said, tell them that I am doing a great work. I cannot come down. Why should the work come to a standstill just so that I can come down and see you? You see, when the enemy sees you doing something for the Lord, he's going to send a spirit of distraction. He's going to send something into your path that's going to block you from doing what God has called you to do. And that's why discernment is so important. But when the enemy comes with distraction, our response to the devil needs to be, I can't speak to you. I'm busy. I'm doing a great work for the Lord. We as a church, we must pray so that we can understand and discern the times that we are living in. We need to pray for our nation. We need to pray for the church. The universal church at large, the body of Christ. We have to begin interceding for the church, that God would wake us up. Many in the church are asleep. They don't understand the season that we're living in. The place of prayer has been neglected in the church. On a Sunday morning, this place will be packed out. But a prayer vigil or a prayer night, you see who? The faithful few. The faithful few who come. The prayer night is the most important night of the week. And on that night, you see the handful of believers who come out, and they're the ones that are sustaining the ministry. And all of the weight is on them. We as a body, we need to repent. We need to repent from complacency, from compromise. We, as a universal church, we need to come to a place of humbling ourselves before God. The book of Nehemiah chapter 13, it says that Elsheba, the priest, he made a grave mistake. He developed an association with a man named Tobiah, who was one of the ones that opposed Nehemiah at every turn in his work for the Lord. And not only did he form an association with this man, but he actually allowed him to begin to live in the temple. And when Nehemiah learned of this, he requested to leave Babylon and to return. And when he got there, he took all of Tobias's things out of the temple and the storeroom, and he cleaned it out. The Bible says, "Here I learned the evil thing Elisheba had done in providing Tobiah a room in the courts of the house of God. And I was greatly displeased and threw all of Tobiah's household goods out of the room, and I gave orders to purify the rooms." The church has allowed the spirit of the world to take up residence in the storerooms of our temples. God is calling each believer to search himself and purify the storerooms. You see, Satan, what he wants us distracted so that we do not pray. He wants us disconnected from God. Because disconnection from God means disconnection. Disconnection from prayer means disconnection from God. And when a believer stops praying, he begins moving away from God towards sin. This is why we must remain in the Spirit. Every believer in Christ needs to come to a place where we humble ourselves before God. 2 Chronicles 7:14 says, "If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sins and heal their land." Your role in this is key, because God will act through our prayers. Our prayers will prompt God to do two things: forgive sin and heal the land. And your role is key in this, because God has called you to pray. You can stand in the gap. You can stand in the gap for the church. You can stand in the gap for this government. You can stand in the gap for our community. And God has not brought you here by coincidence. You are here strategically, brought here by the Lord. I want to encourage you today. Don't lose heart.
Yes.
Your labor in the Lord is not in vain.
Hallelujah.
Your prayers are making a difference. Continue to push.
Hallelujah.
Because when you push, when you pray until something happens, you are pushing the will of God into that situation. You are pushing the will of God into this community. You are pushing the will of God into your home, into your job. So continue to push. Continue to pray. Continue to stand your post. Because God has called every one of us to come deeper into the waters of prayer. To have more of Him. To have all of the gifts that God has available for us. Father God, we just take a moment, Father God, and we take a moment to just humble ourselves, Lord. Father, we pray that you would minister to your church, Lord God. Father, that you would begin to wake up. Wake up the church, Lord God. Stir us from our slumber, Lord God. Father, help us to understand the times that we are living in. Father, the season that we are living in, that we are on the brink of judgment, Lord God. Oh, sharababa sokubu mantarabante. Father, that we are standing, Lord God, at the edge. And there are crucial decisions that are going to be made very soon.
Hallelujah.
Father, and these decisions will decide. Oh, it's the line in the sand, Lord God, that Joshua drew. That he said, if you are with the Lord, come on this side. But if you're not with the Lord, stay there. The line is being drawn in the sand, Lord God.
Hallelujah.
And Father God, that the church would begin to understand.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Father, that there is a line being drawn, and we need to take our stand. We need to decide. We need to declare. This is what I stand for.
Yes, my Lord.
We need you, Lord, more than ever now. Give us boldness to speak. Holy Spirit, we need you.